I'm going to focus mainly on the realm of education and the assault that's underway there.
Former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Historically, education was always viewed in the West as a parental and religious function, not the state's. For 100 years, public education was not hostile to Christianity. Starting in the 1960s, it really went on a crusade against Christianity, first by trying to strip out any vestige of traditional religion, but more recently by trying to affirmatively substitute their own ideologies for traditional religious belief, and it's become a tool of indoctrination.
You can meet and hear Bill Barr at this year's Making the Case conference, June 24th and 25th, at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
It is written by Alito, who's a very clear and engaging writer, and it's masterful. I mean, it seems like maybe he's been writing it for years, if not decades.
I think that you would be a complete and total fool for seeing Musk as a champion for any particular set of values that you think is going to restore America to whatever status of ordered liberty and cultural health that you think we should have.
Our justification must come from outside us. It must come from the highest and most definitive authority, Jesus Christ.
What is Lutheranism? Lutheranism is the Church Catholic purged of those medieval errors that did arise in the Church in many ways, but did not destroy the Church by any means.
Air Force officers on their morning walk enjoy Issues, etc.
What is behind the failed attempt in the Senate to enshrine Roe v. Wade in law? They knew they did not have the votes, not even enough votes in their own party, in the Democratic Party, and yet they went and voted anyway. They said they were trying to keep everyone on the record, but what was really behind it? What's behind many of the protests, the money, the media talking points on Roe v. Wade and abortion since the leak of Justice Alito's draft opinion? There is one common denominator. It accounts for the talking points, the protests, the money, and the attempt to pass legislation that no one thought would ever pass. Planned Parenthood. There's a lot of money going from Planned Parenthood to Democratic politicians, and a lot of money going from the government to Planned Parenthood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, May the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be listening to Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, make the case against Planned Parenthood from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. An hour from now, Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller will lead us in a teaching on what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about creeds. Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. Here she is making the case against Planned Parenthood.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is an honor and a pleasure to be with solid pro-life Lutherans. As one friend down here just said, you know, it's a friendly audience, which that always makes it a little easier. But thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for inviting me to be part of this conference. I have to admit that this was probably one of the hardest speeches I ever had to work on, because I was asked to talk specifically about Planned Parenthood. Usually I'm talking legislation, elections, educational, you know, ultrasounds, kind of throwing a lot of things into a speech. This one was supposed to be specifically Planned Parenthood, but there is so much. It's like taking a mountain of information and trying to, you know, put it into this short, you know, little time frame. So I'm going to be talking a lot of different areas, trying to cover a little bit of everything that they are doing. And I'm also going to be using a lot of numbers, at least in parts of it, a lot of numbers and figures and dollar signs. So I'm just rounding everything off to make it easier. So if you want specific numbers, I'd certainly be willing to help provide that. I wish it would be enough to say that Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion provider in the country, in recent years killing more than 300,000 unborn babies every year. A possible number of abortions of over 8 million since 1973. Now, to break it down another way, they kill about 900 babies every day, one every 97 seconds. That in itself should be enough to make everyone appalled, just aghast with horror at what this organization does. And yet, it is a highly respected and very powerful, very influential organization in this country with strong support and fervent fans. So where did they start? Much of it, of course, as you know, came from Margaret Sanger, founder of the organization, and her views on eugenics. She called people weeds that needed to be thinned so that the garden could grow. She supported birth control and forced sterilization for those she called unfit, the poor, the mentally challenged, as well as others. In a 1932 speech titled My Way to Peace, Sanger pushed for vigorous use of compulsory sterilization, saying, quote, "The first step would be to control the intake and output on morons, mental defectives, and epileptics. The second step would be to take an inventory of the second group, such as illiterates, paupers, unemployables, criminals, prostitutes, dope fiends, classify them in special departments under government medical protection, and segregate them on farms and open spaces." Now, Sanger had agreed, you know, she would agree that these people could get back into society, get off the farms, get back into society if they agreed to sterilization first. In 1938, Sanger wrote, "In animal industry, the poor stock is not allowed to breed. In gardens, the weeds are kept down." Now, following Darwin's survival of the fittest framework, she encouraged America to eliminate the human weeds. In a 1939 letter, she wrote, "The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." She wrote of a speaking engagement at a Ku Klux Klan rally and said later that she must have accomplished her purpose because she got 12 more speaking engagement offers after that event. Ellen Guttmacher, for whom the Guttmacher Research Institute is named, was president of Planned Parenthood during the 1960s. He also served as vice president of the American Eugenics Society. So does eugenics, this mentality from the founders and early leaders of the organization, affect what it does today? Maybe. Some think that it's no coincidence that 79% of the Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are within walking distance of heavily Black and Hispanic communities. 79%. Now, others would say that poor women get more abortions, so Planned Parenthood just went where the business is. Pro-lifers like to point out that there was a time in Planned Parenthood's history that they actually opposed abortion. We do have a copy of a 1963 pamphlet that said, "An abortion kills the life of the baby after it has begun." So at least for a very short time period in there, you know, they did oppose abortion. But at that time also, abortion was illegal, so that might have had something to do with the statement. But they were soon pushing birth control and abortion. In 1970, when New York State became the first state in the nation to legalize abortion, Planned Parenthood was ready and opened up its first facility that day. But let's look at what they have become. The organization now has roughly 56 affiliates and operates more than 600 of what they call health centers. Now, not all of those health centers perform abortions, but more than half of them now do. In 2010, the Planned Parenthood Board put out a national edict that all of its affiliates had to have access to abortion at least one nearby facility. In its most recent annual report for its fiscal year ending June 30th of last year, this nonprofit organization brought in more than $1.6 billion. 22% came from private patients seeking health services. 34%, a little more than a third of their income, came from us, basically, government tax dollars. Most of it through Medicaid and Title X funding, Title X family planning funding. But they also get funding from state and local governments. Some of the states are adding their own money to the Medicaid program so that they actually are paying for abortions at the state level, and that money then goes to Planned Parenthood when they submit bills for reimbursement. About 38% of their income comes from private donations, from wealthy foundations, from people like George Soros and Warren Buffett. Most of that money, 61%, goes back into the clinics for what they call medical services, but a substantial amount goes for sexuality education, to engage communities, for public policy, and for advocacy. Now, Planned Parenthood Federation of America ended the fiscal year with $245 million in excess of revenue over expenses. Now, I can think of a lot of nonprofits that would love to have $245 million, you know, in excess of expenses for 1 year. You've probably heard the statement that abortions are only 3% of their services. Now, their annual report says that they provide 9.7 million services, and they would say that's cancer screenings and contraceptives and a, you know, wide variety of services. So they're saying 9.7 million services to 2.4 million patients, which means on average, every patient coming into their facility is getting what they would call four services, four or five. If a woman enters a facility and says she wants an abortion, they'll do it. But before she leaves, she's been tested for the pregnancy. She's been tested for a sexually transmitted disease or infection. She's been handed a package of contraceptive pills. So right there, that's at least four services. So they would say the abortion was, you know, 25% of what they provided for her, but the abortion is the reason she came into their facility in the first place. We can also look at the services provided just to pregnant women through abortion, adoption referrals, care after a miscarriage, or prenatal services. Four different ways that they can deal with a woman coming into their facility. In total, in the last year, they dealt with 346,374 cases. 96% of the pregnant women coming into their facilities got an abortion. So the other 4% was, you know, pretty minor. Adoption referrals, prenatal services. Planned Parenthood is in the abortion business. Now, how else can we know that abortion is important to them? Look at the money. Their annual report doesn't itemize the income from the various services that they provide, but we can get a pretty good idea. A 2014 study by the Guttmacher Institute said that the average price paid for a surgical abortion at 10 weeks was $480. The average price paid for an early medical abortion before 10 weeks was $504. Now, some Planned Parenthood clinics may charge a little less, but some are, you know, charge a little more. So you figure roughly $500 an abortion, and these are the early pregnancy abortions, surgical or medication, you know, prior to 10 weeks. If you figure every single abortion that they did, more than 332,000 abortions, $500 each, that comes to $160 million, which is 10% of their total income that year. But we know that they do later, more expensive abortions. More than 100 of their facilities do second trimester abortions, and at least a dozen offered abortions at 20 weeks or more. So we know those are going to be considerably more expensive procedures. So more than 10% of their budget, their income, does come from killing unborn children.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, is making the case against Planned Parenthood from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. After the break, more on where Planned Parenthood money goes.
Freedom of speech and religion are important rights for Christians because we are called to lift up Jesus.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Paavi Rossinen talking about her presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I have been a member of the Parliament of Finland for 27 years, but now suddenly I'm facing three criminal charges for sharing my deeply held beliefs based on the Bible. At the trial, the prosecutor tried to deny the core message of the Bible, the teaching of law and gospel. I defend the right to confess the Christian faith and its teaching on the human being.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paavi Rossinen at the 2022 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago, Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wondered why Jesus ascended into the heavens? Why does he leave his disciples behind? Why not stay here on earth and rule and govern his church here on earth? Well, if you've ever wondered this question, you need to pick up your copy of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, where we talk about the Ascension, how to recover Ascension Day services in your own congregation, Ascension Day hymnody, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, is making the case against Planned Parenthood from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Here she is with a little bit more on where Planned Parenthood's money goes.
Planned Parenthood says most of its money goes back into the healthcare, but they are doing fewer and fewer of the services that they like to talk about. They love to talk about cancer screenings. You're going to hear that they need to be providing cancer screenings to all these women who need help to save their lives. Well, in 2005, going back a few years, they reported a little more than 2 million cancer screens and prevention, as they label it. In 2017, that figure was a little more than 600,000, a drop of 70% in 12 years. So they are doing fewer and fewer cancer screenings. During that same time frame, there were 500,000 fewer breast exams. Now, these are, of course, the manual exams, because they don't have the mammograms, as everyone would still likes to think that they do, and they certainly aren't hiring the mammography technicians. So these are the annual breast exams, more than 500,000 fewer than they had in previous years. In 2006, almost 4 million women were given birth control. In 2017, they were down to 2.6, again, a drop of 34%. And adoption referrals down to 4,000 in their last year. The one procedure, the one service that they provided that increased was abortion. In 2005, they performed 265,000 abortions. In 2017, that was up to 332,000, a 25% increase. In 2006, Planned Parenthood performed 21% of all abortions in the country. By 2017, it was up to 36%. They are increasing their percentage of the abortions as the number of abortions overall nationwide is dropping. They're taking a bigger and bigger share of it. In addition, Planned Parenthood affiliates in 16 states provide telemedicine abortion services in 13 states. Now, medication abortion is what Planned Parenthood calls, what we would call a chemical abortion, RU486. It's the mifepristone, misoprostol combination that would kill an unborn child and then induce cramps so that the baby can be expelled from the uterus. Rather than meeting the abortionist in person, a woman is sitting in a Planned Parenthood office in some city, and she is talking to the abortionist on his computer, talking via computer, while he's in another city. The abortionist can talk to her about abortion, of course, if he wants to, and then he pushes a button on his computer that opens the drawer in the room where she is seated. And he's going to tell her which pills to take, and she can actually take them, you know, in front of the computer, and he can watch her take them. And then he's going to say, there's another set of pills, take that home, and then tomorrow you take that second set. Well, the first set of pills that she has taken are the ones that are going to kill the child. It will starve the child by drying up the progesterone in the uterus. And then a day, maybe two later, she takes the second set of pills, and those pills are going to start the contractions that will then hopefully expel the dead child from the uterus. This is a two-drug process. It's very painful. It's very dangerous. We know of at least 22 women, and this is from the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, saying at least 22 women who used RU486 in this country have died. There are thousands of complications, thousands of women suffering complications, whether it's hemorrhaging, severe cramping. It might have been an ectopic pregnancy that wasn't diagnosed. So the baby, you know, basically the fallopian tube ruptured. There are just a lot of complications, and yet Planned Parenthood is fine with putting an abortionist in one room and dispensing this pill to women across various states. Now, I think the reason they want to push this is because there are fewer and fewer abortionists out there. Many of the abortionists are getting older, and they are retiring or dying. They're not being replaced at the same rate because younger doctors just aren't getting into it, don't want to mess with it. So they have to find ways to make abortion available, and this is one that's, for them anyway, actually cheaper, so they make more money, and it's much easier. Now, seven states have amended their informed consent laws, which I think is a great thing. I would love to see this all over the country, so that if a woman goes to any abortionist and says, you know, I'm going to take the chemical abortion, the medication abortion, they have to tell her that if she changes her mind within, you know, a day before, but at least before she takes that second set of pills, she may be able to save her baby. Because there are now doctors and nurses around this country building a network that that needs to grow that you can get to. And it's just a heavy dosage of progesterone. It's very safe. But if she changes her mind and says, oh, I don't know why I took that first pill, I don't want my baby to die. If she gets to a doctor and they can help her, you know, replace the progesterone that first pill is eating away at, she can still save her baby. We know that there are more than 500 babies around the country right now, living, running around, toddlers or younger, that have survived the abortion. Thank you. Survived the abortion process just because their mom changed her mind, and was able to get that kind of help. So we've got states that are now saying that when you're going to do an abortion, you have to tell the woman if she changes her mind, there is a way to maybe help save that baby. Regardless of what you hear about Planned Parenthood helping women, just always remember that their cancer screenings are down, their pap smears are down, contraceptive services are down. They're doing, you know, what's up is the abortions. Planned Parenthood puts a lot of money into political campaigns and has a lot of support among politicians. During the 2018 elections, just last year, Planned Parenthood Political Action Committee donated more than $500,000 to pro-abortion Democratic candidates. Zero to Republicans. Planned Parenthood Votes, a super PAC, spent almost $15 million to elect pro-abortion Democrats. In 2016, they spent more than $21 million, most of that in an unsuccessful effort to elect Hillary Clinton as president. Now, certainly there are pro-life Democrats and there are pro-abortion Republicans, but Planned Parenthood knows where and from whom it gets its support. They are one of the powerhouse organizations that pretty much run the Democratic Party. We saw Joe Biden flip just this last week. a couple of days ago. Joe Biden, running for president, was a longtime supporter of the Hyde Amendment. He didn't think tax dollars should be used to pay for abortion and pay directly for abortion, not just go to an abortion provider for other services that they are covering. But he has decided that he's now going to support it. The Hyde Amendment is wrong, and he thinks tax dollars should be used to pay for abortions for poor women. Democrats on a national level have a very hard time saying no to Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, and they are willing defenders of the abortion provider when needed. Now, some of the most damaging and damning work against Planned Parenthood was the undercover video work conducted by the Center for Medical Progress in 2015. David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt posed as buyers looking for tissue and organs from aborted babies and got appalling, heartbreaking comments from Planned Parenthood officials on tape. I'm just curious, how many of you have seen any of those videos? Wonderful, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Abortion facilities will sometimes have their own people looking through, you know, the POC, the product of conception, the remains of an aborted baby, to make sure that all of the parts have been, you know, suction abortion, you kind of have to, you know, they pull the baby out by a vacuum and it goes into a jar. Older babies, they start pulling off the arms and the legs, but they have someone looking to make sure that they've gotten all of these products of conception out of the mother so that there's no, you know, concern or danger of infection or other problems. So they have someone looking through these to see if, you know, where the body parts are, but it's also looking to see if something can be salvaged for a buyer that wants to get tissue and organs for research. Now, in some facilities, a company like STEM Express, which was very active in these videos, would send an employee over to see, you know, what they can recover from an abortion. On one of the videos, you know, you even see them saying, oh yeah, well, I called and told them that we were going to have a, you know, 5-month-old baby today, so, you know, send someone over prepared that we might be able to get some good organs for you.
We're hearing the case against Planned Parenthood from Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. She made this presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Are you looking for educational alternatives for your children for the 2022-23 school year? Check out Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for students pre-K through 12th grade. They also offer live interactive online classes for high school students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. We will hear what some Planned Parenthood leaders have been saying, and it will shock you after this. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. Century. The 4th century. The the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues, Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu. We are listening to the 2019 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference presentation, Making the Case Against Planned Parenthood by Carol Tobias, President of National Right to Life. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Here, Carol is with some more shocking things that Planned Parenthood leaders have said.
So I'm going to go through, and I hope this doesn't bother anybody with a weak stomach, but you need to hear what some of their officials were saying. Dr. Deborah Nucatola, Senior Director for Medical Services for Planned Parenthood, and this was, I think, one of the very first one where you saw her sitting at the lunch table, munching on her salad and drinking her red wine, and she said, "You know, I asked her at the beginning of the day what she wanted. Yesterday, she's been asking. A lot of people want intact hearts these days. They're looking for specific nodes, AV nodes. Yesterday, I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them. Yesterday was the first time she said people wanted lungs. And then, like I said, always as many intact livers as possible. Some people want lower extremities too, which, that's simple. That's easy. I don't know what they're doing with it. I guess if they want muscle." Dr. Carolyn Westhoff, Planned Parenthood's senior medical advisor, saying, "We've just been working with people who want particular tissues, like, you know, they want cardiac, or they want eyes, or they want neural. Oh, gonads, oh my God, gonads." And of course she assured them that everything they provide is fresh. Planned Parenthood abortionist Anna Dermnisch is recorded saying, "One of our POC persons is really into organ development." And the buyer said, "Oh, really?" And Dermnisch said, "Yeah, she'll pull out like kidneys and heart, and like heart we frequently see at 9 weeks, and she always looks for it." Now, I want to explain a few things in this next Dermnisch quote, and you may be familiar with these terms. Of course, the breech presentation is when the baby comes out, you know, feet or bottom first, rather than the normal head first. The normal head first would be the cephalic presentation. And of course, the calvarium is referring to the skull. So this is abortionist Dermnisch. "It was trunk intact, so usually what I do, if it's a breech presentation, I'll remove the extremities first, the lower extremities, and then go for the spine and sort of bring it down that way." And then, and the buyer interrupts, "You said if that's a breech presentation?" And Dermnisch said, "If it's a breech presentation, yeah. If it's cephalic, I'll try and get the calvarium first. But if I'm struggling getting the cal, usually it's a function of how good my dilation is. Oftentimes, it's hard to get around the cal, the head. Especially the 20-weekers are a lot harder versus the 18-weekers. So at that point, I'll switch to breech." Buyer, "Good. I was just curious what we might be working with." Dermnisch, "I always try and keep the trunk intact just by function of always trying to aim for the spine to bring it down." Now, the conversations in these videos showed Planned Parenthood officials talking about how they procure tissue and organs from aborted babies and haggling over fees for processing the tissue and organs. And here they were talking with a potential new buyer, so maybe they could get a little more money for what they had. Now, because of those videos, of course, many questions were raised, including whether the companies involved were profiting from harvesting these brains and hearts and livers, you know, and the tissue, and whether abortion techniques were altered in order to obtain these materials. In response to the videos, Congress launched several investigations. One of these was a year-long panel, the Select Investigative Panel of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and they conducted months of research, interviewing people and getting their testimonies on record. When the report was released, it became clear that this was not a few rogue abortionists trying to make a few bucks under the table. These were top leaders and officials of Planned Parenthood considering what they thought might be a better offer from a new buyer for a practice that had been going on for several years. The dispute over all of this, quite frankly, was how much money was not how much money was exchanged, but whether or not it was illegal. Federal law does not permit someone to profit off the sales of tissue and organs, but the person who is involved in the process, whether you are obtaining them or you are buying them to pass on to a university for research, you can get reimbursed from, you know, one or the other party or whoever is involved for basic business expense. You just can't make any money off of the human organs and tissue. The panel also obtained additional information on the willingness of Planned Parenthood abortionists to alter their methods in order to obtain the best fetal tissue. Now, you may remember the statements from Planned Parenthood abortionist and the organization's senior director of clinical services, again, Deborah Nucatola. In response to questions, you know, she had said that she would crush below, crush above, you know, the trunk, changing the presentation from vertex to breech to allow more gradual dilation to see if she could get intact parts to deliver an intact calvarium. Mary Gatter, the president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council, said she wanted doctors open to using a less crunchy technique for more whole specimens. Now again, you can't alter the abortion procedure just to get intact organs. And the way some of these abortionists, especially Nucatola, was describing, it called into question whether or not they were actually doing the partial birth abortion procedure, which had been declared illegal by Congress, passed by President Bush, and upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. So that procedure is no longer available, and yet it sounded like some of the abortionists were actually doing that because that was how they could get better lungs and organ and tissues. The House Select Panel did make multiple criminal and regulatory referrals to local district attorneys, the U.S. Department of Justice, and other federal agencies, asserting that Planned Parenthood may have illegally profited from sale or transfer of fetal tissue for valuable consideration, and that they may have altered abortion procedures. This went back to individual cities, localities, various states. Some of them, if they had an official, you know, whether or not he or she was pro-life, but someone that was concerned with what was being done, would have followed up and looked into it. In other places, the district attorney or whoever was given the information was a supporter of Planned Parenthood or the local abortionist and didn't care and didn't get involved. So we've got various results of what happened around the country to the evidence presented by the select panel. Now, on the Senate side, following release of the videos, the Senate Judiciary Committee under the chairmanship at that time of Chuck Grassley of Iowa referred Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers to the FBI, the U.S. Department of Justice, for investigation. Grassley said that the committees had discovered enough evidence that showed how abortion providers had transferred fetal tissue and body parts from aborted babies for research by charging amounts higher than the actual expenses would have covered. He also noted that the Department of Justice, under multiple administrations, had failed to enforce the law that bans the buying and selling of human fetal tissue. So the Department of Justice came back and said, give us your documents, give us your paper, give us the unredacted documents so that we can follow up and see what's going on. And we don't know what has happened. I'm assuming that under this administration it is still going on, but we have not heard anything since. So we don't know what is really happening with that and whether it's going to be taken any further or if everything is just kind of get dropped because there's so many other things going on. Now, Planned Parenthood has also had some very good success with the courts. Pro-life people work very hard to elect pro-life candidates to represent them in the state legislatures, you know, or in Congress. Those legislators then pass good pro-life laws, Planned Parenthood goes to court, they'll find a judge that agrees with them and frequently gets the law struck. So they have been very successful doing that in the courts. They challenged a 1974 law in Missouri, which banned abortions by saline injection, required a married woman to obtain the consent of her husband prior to an abortion, and required consent of parents before an abortion could be performed on their minor daughter. The law was struck, and the decision eventually upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. In Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania v. Casey, Pennsylvania's Abortion Control Act of 1982 was challenged. And this bill covered a lot of different things: informed consent, you know, telling the women about abortion and alternatives, complications that were possible. It required a waiting period between getting that information and actually going through with the abortion. It required parental consent for a minor's abortion, dealt with post-viability tests. I mean, there was just a lot there. Again, struck and eventually upheld by the Supreme Court, and they used that case, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, to actually reaffirm Roe v. Wade and made some changes that actually made it tougher to pass pro-life legislation. They challenged funding restrictions in various states and actively opposed legislation to protect unborn children. They are currently suing the state of Arizona because the pro-life laws there have caused a huge drop in abortions, and some of their facilities have actually closed. So they're going to court because abortions are dropping. They oppose the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act in Congress and in the various states that are trying it. They oppose bans on abortions for babies who have Down syndrome. Planned Parenthood is leading the charge to say that there should be no limits on abortion for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason.
We're listening to Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, make the case against Planned Parenthood from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. There is reason for hope, and we'll find out why she is hopeful after this. Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
With the oldest deaconess program of the LCMS, Concordia University Chicago has fully certified young women for the deaconess vocation for more than 40 years. I'm Deaconess Kristen Wasilak, Program Director for Deaconess Studies. Help us identify the next generation of servants to care for souls, engage our communities in mercy, and teach God's Word. Learn more about Concordia Chicago's Deaconess Program today at cuchicago.edu, cuchicago.edu.
This is a short ad, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you, but you and your family need a good Lutheran church. You need this for spiritual nourishment and training, and for the support and community that comes from like-minded Christians. Your children need Lutheran friends who can become Lutheran spouses. If you don't have that where you live, you should move. One of the places you should consider is Fort Wayne, so that you can attend Redeemer, maybe send your kids to Redeemer Classical School, or just get your homeschooled kids involved with the school. Besides the church, Fort Wayne has lots to offer, including jobs. If you want to talk to families that have done just this, picked up and moved to Fort Wayne for the sake of the church, we can introduce you to some. And if you want to come for a visit, we can even help with housing. Life's too short and your children are too precious to live where you aren't spiritually fed and cared for. Your job, your income, is not the most important thing in your life. Find Redeemer Lutheran in Fort Wayne on the internet and drop us a line. We'd love to help.
an umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. It's not only what you'll find on Issues Etc., but it's also in the Lutheran Witness magazine. An annual print and digital subscription to the Lutheran Witness is less than $20. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, is making the case against Planned Parenthood from the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Why is she still hopeful?
We are hopeful that with all the new judges that are being nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate, that we will start to see judges making changes in some of these decisions, because hopefully they are interpreting the Constitution and not legislating based on their own personal opinion or preference. Now, Planned Parenthood's strategy is get the kids. Audrey Bracey Deegan is a member of the Planned Parenthood National Board. A couple of years ago, she was quoted as saying, "It's going to be a long war with changing strategies, so we have to teach our children, too, to be vigilant. The language of choice has to be part of their everyday vocabulary. That way, they can't be silenced without it feeling unnatural. It was the children that were the turning point in the South in the 60s and in Soweto. It has to be the children who are the turning point in the movement if we are ever to gain the momentum necessary to turn back the opposition." Now, Planned Parenthood boasts that it is the largest provider of sex education for our children, with games, quizzes, and videos to reach young people. Now, I'm guessing that you wouldn't like most or maybe all of what they are teaching. But this gets Planned Parenthood in touch with kids of all ages. So then if a young girl does become pregnant, Planned Parenthood is her friend. And they know that. They're reaching the young people, and they've been doing it for many years. They know that they have sustained damage over the past few years. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not they should get any kind of federal funding for any services. It's taxpayer dollars. Taxpayers don't want their dollars associated with abortion, and certainly the videos. So it was interesting because Kaiser Health News did an extensive article not too long ago about Dr. Lena Nguyen, their new president, and how she is visiting her affiliates and on a listening tour to see how they can recast their public image. Now, they're not going to give up performing or promoting abortion, and that's, you know, that would make the biggest difference in their public image. But they want us to think about their other services, their cancer screenings that they talk so much about. And they want to put abortion in the context of a much bigger healthcare picture overall. So when the medical doctor and president, with other officials, visited various community centers, they were highlighting different areas. In Providence, Rhode Island, the clinic director there was talking about how they have efforts to expand their primary care offerings. And one of their programs was to improve the health of women wanting to get pregnant. Staff at a San Jose, California clinic wanted to highlight their mental health services. P- Planned Parenthood, and especially this clinic, does not advertise mental health services. They don't have anything like that specific under general health care. So I'm not sure what kind of mental health services they are highlighting and working on, but they said that's going to be one of their focuses. So both clinics have talked about helping patients with a threat of domestic violence and helping them, you know, find a place to stay or food, you know, necessary resources. But even during these listening tours, Lena Nguyen is making sure that people know abortion is a part of the spectrum of full reproductive care and that reproductive care is health care. Now, the effort to pass abortion off as standard health care when access to health care in the U.S. is such a potential political concern problem right now, that's not accidental. They want people to start thinking, we have a health care problem and abortion is part of health care. So if you're on social media at all, abortion is health care. You're seeing that everywhere. Now, Nguyen told Kaiser Health News that Planned Parenthood simply can't drop its abortion from its offerings. We cannot separate one of our services. That's not how medicine works. Well, we all know medicine doesn't work by killing the patient or killing innocent babies at this point. The facts are hard to spin. Planned Parenthood's name and reputation are intertwined with abortion. Because it is the nation's largest abortion provider and promoter, its share of the nation's abortions have grown to more than a third, while other abortion providers are closing or decreasing their business. Despite cries that the group is under this huge funding attack and what are they going to do if all this money, tax money, is not available, and yet they brought in $1.6 billion. Now, people associate Planned Parenthood with abortion because that's what it does. We can call it anything, but it's cold-blooded killing, the murder of unborn children. And calling it health care does not change that. A majority of the people in this country still have a favorable opinion of Planned Parenthood, although a large part of them, that group, does not know that Planned Parenthood does abortion. So we need to actually, you know, I think increase education, publicity. Planned Parenthood, because of its size and its reputation, its force, is the undergirding for the abortion industry. If they weren't there, I think a lot of the little abortionists that are surviving probably wouldn't. So they are the behemoth in this country right now. I would encourage you, beg you, plead with you, two things. One, if you've got neighbors, family, friends, make sure they understand that Planned Parenthood is not this generous, benevolent, you know, health care provider that needs our help and support. They need to know what Planned Parenthood is doing. My second one, and more important, is pleading with you to pray for them. Pray for the leaders of the organization. Pray for the leaders of the abortion industry. The politicians that are upholding them and helping them to get the funding and get by, you know, any laws that might be there. We have a lot of people in this country who used to support abortion, and then they either saw a picture of an unborn baby, they talked to a woman who had an abortion and was suffering regret from that abortion. Something influenced them, and they now believe abortion is wrong. For many of them, it was, you know, I'm sure it was a religious conversion that's, you know, that they started reading Psalm 139 or, you know, other parts of the Bible that talk about how life is a creation, as creation is a gift of God. We have women in this country who have had abortions and they have found Jesus Christ, or he found them and they opened up to him. And they are some of the strongest voices we have fighting abortion in many ways. This is Pentecost weekend. The Holy Spirit can do mighty works. And I would just plead with you to add Planned Parenthood, add abortion providers to your list, that their hearts and their minds, their eyes would be opened. The Spirit can penetrate the dark walls and the hardened hearts that are currently hurting the children in our country. So, actually, that's going to be my plea as I leave. We need to pray for them because this is a spiritual battle and there's only one victor. And we ask, plead that he would intervene in our country right now, today. Thank you so much.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. After the break, what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about creeds with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.